Started. Okay, it's 6 o'clock. We'll go ahead and get started with our redevelopment agency meeting. It's a regular session. Roll call, please.
Board Member O'Malley?
Here.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Board Member Brendler?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Luna?
Here.
Chairperson Barreau?
Here.
All present.
And I need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Board Member Brendler, second by Board Member Luna. Roll call, please.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Brendler?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Luna?
Yes.
Chairperson Barreau?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
The next item on the agenda is the community forum, and this is for matters under our jurisdiction. Just a reminder for anyone walking in late, this is the redevelopment agency, not the city council meeting. Anyone like to speak at this time? Seeing none, we'll close a community forum, and we will move to the consent calendar. There is one item on our consent calendar tonight. It's the affordable housing funds policy, and this is our second reading. Anybody want to pull an item? Seeing none. Anybody from the audience want to pull this item? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and...
I move approval of consent calendar.
Second.
A motion by Board Member O'Malley, second by Board Member Clay. Roll call, please.
Board Member Brendler?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Luna?
Yes.
Chairperson Barreau?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
And next item is public hearings, which are there are none. There are no management reports either. Any board announcements or reports? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and adjourn our meeting and immediately follow with our council meeting.
All right. Well, welcome to our regularly scheduled council meeting. And for those of you in the audience, you certainly can find a copy of the agenda to the rear of the room. For those of you who are listening to us or watching us via the internet or on cable.
Ready to begin? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. We'll now move to our roll call.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barreau?
Here.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
All present.
Thank you. We now will move to presentations, and tonight our first presentation is a very...
Approval of the agenda.
I'm sorry, we skipped that. The approval, motion to approval of agenda, please.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion as second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Barreau?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. We will now move to presentations, and our first presentation will be made by the City Manager, Wade McKinney. It's a very important recognition for 20 years of service by our esteemed council member, George Luna.
On behalf of the entire community, Dr. Luna, we want to thank you for your 20 years of service, actually 20 and a half years of service to the city of Atascadero. Dr. Luna began his service as a planning commissioner in 1988 and served as chairman from 1990 to 92. He was elected to the City Council in 1992 and served as mayor in 2004 and 2007. That's over 400 council meetings. Dr. Luna, practically an institution in Atascadero, has made many important contributions. Perhaps today one of the most important in these economic times is his leadership in finance. He's participated on the Council's Finance Committee since 1992 and helped to navigate the city's fiscal policy through good times and bad, giving us reserves today that allow us to chart our way through this current recession. Dr. Luna championed the city's tree ordinance and initiated a plan to an effort to plant 3,000 new oak trees. He's participated in the development of the city's redevelopment agency, the Atascadero Road Program, Colony Park Community Center, and many projects over those 16 years. As mayor, he led us through the earthquake recovery, opening a earthquake recovery center the very same day as the earthquake and temporary City Hall only 1 week later. While our historic City Hall remains vacant, behind the scenes progress continues. Dr. Luna has been steadfast in his commitment to rebuild City Hall and once again operate as the Colony Center. On behalf of a grateful community, I present Dr. Luna this token of our appreciation.
Really appreciate them, and especially those who actually supported me in those rather turbulent times. Next on the list would be, of course, the staff, past and present. The city has come a long way. When Wade mentioned that I was on the finance committee from the beginning, and I can remember starting out at the first finance committee meeting with Mark Joseph, the finance director, coming in and saying we finished the year $52,000 in the red. We now go into this next period, council will, without me. The community will go forward without me. But we've gone from that minus $52,000 to close to $10 million in reserves. And these are very turbulent scary times, but the city is in a position where we can survive those times with the reserves that we've set aside. We did that on purpose, and Rochelle and Wade and his team are to be congratulated for the good advice that they gave the council. So I think that if the council is careful and fiscally conservative and takes the recommendations of staff, the city will be fine. I know there was a lot of hyperbole in the last election about the city is going broke, and that of course was hyperbole. I would prefer to call it nonsense, but the city is in good shape financially and should survive these turbulent times. Finally, I want to thank my wife Ursula, because she has made... She has made her own contributions to Atascadero. She was on the Board of Alps. She was involved with the Stadium Park acquisition, as well as on the Historical Society and on the Board of the Historical Society for quite some time. She has made her own contributions, and you probably missed her at these council meetings. Uh-huh. But... But in any case, she's there in spirit, and she looks forward to progress in the community for those things she's worked so hard for. And with that, I will just ask Mr. Mayor, just so we preserve the euphoria of the moment, can I go home? Thank you.
Move to adjourn.
I'm sure you will. We have a few comments. Mayor Pro Tem Birol, you'd like to say something?
Would it be okay if we have any members from the public who wanted to speak?
Absolutely. I think okay. That would be appropriate.
I can go ahead and say what my little jig, but I think there's a lot of people here tonight enjoying time with Ursula and doing some travel. I hope George can find his own niche in our community, doing some community service work, and also that he will come back to the podium and give us some good advice. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Would anyone from the public like to
Well, I wouldn't mind
comment.
Saying something.
Yeah. Jerry?
Yeah, well, I think, George, it's time to enjoy yourself a little bit, okay? I mean, you put a lot of years in, and I don't know whether you ever missed a meeting, maybe one or two, but
four
meetings, okay, in 20 years. Well, that's a pretty good record, but, yeah, I just wish you and Ursula the best, and enjoy yourselves.
Marge?
I want to speak to George. I hope you can have a wonderful, fun life from here on out without all the stress that the city council has. But I know I speak for a lot of people that aren't here tonight. I called several people to have them come to the meeting tonight, and some of them said they had to work at night and they would be here if it wasn't for that. So anyway, George, a lot of people appreciate all you've done all these years. So thank you, George.
Thank you, Marge.
Tom Comar, Tascadero. I'd like to join in with all the kudos for George's 20 years of service to Tascadero and his sacrifice that city council work demands. I also would like to say we can't forget Ursula, as George mentioned, for her exceptional individual role in the city, but also her hard work in getting George elected, keeping him on task, and acting as his number one advisor. George has been an independent voice and standard bearer for many of us who felt we were not politically nor adequately represented by the majorities of prior city councils. His voice, hard work, and influence, while drowned out many times, outvoted many times, has made Atascadero a better city in which to live. If Mr. Santos was here on previous meetings, he's praised George's work. Mr. Shannon, in previous meetings, has said he voted for you, George. So we know that you're not perfect. But then none of us are. But George did sincerely try to look out for the interests of the whole community as he saw it, refusing to use the city council pulpit as a political soapbox or his position to push partisan agendas. Again, thank you for your dedication, your ability to take all the abuse and the punches that you took, but yet stay on the high road all these years. Hopefully, you've set an example that will be followed by future council members. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Good evening. Rick Matthews of Tascadero. Valene and I would just, George, thanks for everything you've given over the years. I don't know why I'm getting choked up, but it's because I've looked up to you for so long. You've been a very important person to not only me, but everyone in the community. I don't think we could ever really repay you for what you've given over all these years.
All home now in Atascadero, so bless you. Thank you for all your hard work and for being the one.
Thank you, Pam.
My name is Bob Powers. I'm really lousy at this, but like Ellen, George introduced me into politics, putting up signs. I think Ellen was probably in first grade when I started doing that for George. But anyway, I learned an awful lot, and the one thing I did learn was that at these meetings with George and the committee, that I found George a very honest, decent person I really liked. We had a lot of fun at these meetings, and George really cared about Atascadero, and we all appreciate it, George. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob, and thanks for your support.
Tom, would you like to say something?
Well, yes, George, you were my introduction to politics, too. And as Yellen said, I think you're one of the reasons I ran for city council. And I did appreciate working with you on the Finance Committee for the last 6 years, and I think one of the greatest accomplishments I feel in my short career was something that you and I worked together on, was getting the only transfer development credits our city has done. We added 28 acres to Stadium Park at no cost to the city. I still look back at that as a great accomplishment. And I look over the years, I think not only your fiscal conservatism has been a good foundation for our city, but often you work towards compromise in the past. We worked together to work towards consensus, and whenever we stood together, that was really much healthier for our community, and I appreciate your effort over the years at doing that.
Thank you, Tom.
And, George, I've come to learn that 2 years is a long time, a long, long time. And 20 years must have been an eternity. And I don't know how you found the stamina. I don't know how you found the patience. But you've always been polite to me, and I'm thankful.
Thank you.
And I'm also thankful for your service to our community. And this was long overdue. This should have occurred in July when you actually celebrated that milestone. But nonetheless, better late than never. So,
thank you, Mike.
My name is Gretchen Gray, and I'm just a regular citizen of the city. And again, Ursula and George introduced me to whatever meetings I could attend, to the, you know, to the crucial items going on. I'd get a call from Ursula. And I felt through the years that we've been here, many years, but very often we citizens really weren't represented very well. We'd go to meetings, and everything that happened afterwards would be the opposite of what everyone said. So I was always grateful that George was there at least 4-1 most of the time, but at least there was one, you know. So again, like everyone, I just want to thank him so much. What an enormous effort to do this for 20 years. It's just extraordinary, and Ursula as well. So I just want to add my voice to say thank you.
Pointing me to the Planning Commission. That was a brave action on your part, and I told you I was really surprised that you did. I got involved with the Lunas shortly after I moved here. We had a passion for the trees, and I also appreciate the fact that you gave the go-ahead to let's get some trees planted, and we're going to do another batch in December. So we're still working on it. And thank you again.
Thank you, Joan. Thank you for serving.
One final round of applause for George, if you would, for me.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen.
And thank all of you for your reception and your kind words. We will now move on to presentations, fire service awards by the Fire Chief, Kurt Stone.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Tonight I'm going to be presenting five awards to firefighters, engineers, and fire officers or captains. These awards represent anywhere from 250 to 700 hours worth of training of the various accomplishments, and I'll read off the individual accomplishments and the recipient's name as I present the awards. The awards are being presented through me by JAC, the Joint Apprenticeship Committee, which is a partnership between the community colleges, the Professional Firefighters Union of California, and the Fire Chiefs Association, California Fire Chiefs Association. This really does represent a milestone in these individuals' career, and without further ado, and a tough act to follow, I'll start with Jason Smith being recognized as a Joint Apprenticeship Fire Engineer. Brian Westerman being presented with a Fire Engineer. Mm-hmm. This is a new award, and two of them received this tonight. Actually, one will receive this tonight. We have one award pending. Nate Hosh for a certified Jack paramedic. And last but not least, in a small organization like ours, the folks that I rely on and those that act as the acting fire chief in my absence, Captains Casey Bryson and Scott Hallett have both attained Fire Officer Instructor 1, which is the most difficult of these awards to receive. Casey. Together, that represents nearly 3,000 hours worth of training and spanning, in some cases, 5 to 8 years of effort. And with that, I'd like to present the recipient.
Thank you, Chief. Awards well deserved, and we're in gratitude to our firefighters for protecting our community. Our next award or presentation is by Wade McKinney, and it'll be referenced the Technology Achievement Award.
Seems like a lot of awards tonight. I'm excited to recognize our technology team tonight. The City of Atascadero has been awarded the Award of Excellence for Information Technology Practices by the Municipal Information Systems Association of California. Only 3% of the cities are recognized annually for this award. We have come a long ways in the last 10 years, George. I think I remember when we had 13 computers some 10 years ago and no networks. Today, we have a secure, reliable network supporting all of our operations from mobile terminals and police and fire vehicles to permitting and reservation systems right here in City Hall. I'm proud of our team, led by Assistant City Manager Jim Lewis. Let me introduce our staff, database programmer Tom Whaley, Sr., Support Services Tech, David Anastasia. Systems Administrator, Ken Phillips. And GIS Analyst, I think still, oh, did he, you already fixed that computer? Thanks. Luke Knight. Congratulations, guys, for all your hard work.
Those little guys won an award, too, I see. Well, thank you. And Chief Mulhall? Our next presentation by Chief Mulhall. We're going to introduce our newest member to the K-9 program. And I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. Is it Ike? Yike?
It is Ike. Thank you, Mayor and members of the City Council. I'm here, as the Mayor said, to present our newest police dog. If you remember, about a year ago, our previous police dog, Zep, retired due to medical issues. And certainly with our commitment to the community, we wanted to ensure that we do have two police dogs on duty at all times. So with that commitment and with our city manager supporting us, we were able to purchase a new dog. So I wanted to come up here, and I want to introduce Sergeant Robert Millay. Bob is in charge of our K-9 program, and he's going to talk a little bit about that program and then do some more introductions. Sergeant?
Thank you, sir. Good evening. The K-9 unit started about 1987 with a generous gift from a local civic group. Since then, we've had 7 dogs work for us. The dogs are funded primarily through donations from private individuals, businesses, and civic associations. As tradition with the department, each dog is issued an official police badge with his name and number on it. Ike came to us about 3 months ago, and I'd like to present the chief to present Ike with his new badge.
I'm going to present the badge to...
September 1st, I went to Santa Paula, Ventura, for a 5-week canine school where I was... we did a lot of training and a lot of bonding with me and the dog. And it was a rigorous 5 weeks, a long 5 weeks, but it was worth every penny and every sweat and tears that went into all that. Ike is going to be a great asset to not only this community but to our agency, and I want to thank you for allowing us to be here.
Could you bring him out so we could see him out here?
Sure.
I appreciate it. All right.
You want to shake hands?
Thank you. I won't shake hands. Whoa, baby. You've got a lot of heart there, O'Malley.
Well, we wish Ike a long career, capture a lot of bad guys, and we wish all of our law enforcement personnel a long career, good career. Thank you very much. We've concluded our presentations tonight. We'll move on to our consent calendar. There are 7 items on consent calendar. Does anyone from the council wish to pull an item? Is there anyone from the public? It's my understanding that, Mr. Broadwater, you wanted to pull which?
A2.
A2, the accounts payable July 2008.
Yeah. For the record, I'm going to vote no on 3. Okay.
So we'll pull it for the vote?
Well, when we vote, I'm voting, you know.
Understood.
For the record, I'm voting no on 3.
Understood.
Yeah. I move approval of consent calendar items 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 with a no vote registered for myself on item 3.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember O'Malley, a second by Councilmember Clay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
No.
Councilmember...
Excuse me. Yes, but no on 3. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes, with a no on item 3.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
Did I get everybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Motion passes 5-0 with 2 no's on 3.
Right, thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you.
All right, that moves us to item A2. And you have a question, Mr. Broadwater, or a comment?
Yes, David Broadwater here. I'd like you to refer you to your agenda packet, the accounts payable packet that you were given, including the distribution listing that went with it, which is line items of every check that was issued by the city for the month of July. And if you would, please go to the fifth page of the distribution listing. You'll find check number 116503. This is the chamber is required to provide a detailed accounting of the expenditure of monies that it receives and expenditures it expects to make, and has failed to do that for 3 years at least. Consistently, there's no explanation for the expenditure of this public taxpayer subsidy, and so I would recommend that you pull this item, not give your authority for the payment of this $28,000+ at this time, deny payment, or at least defer payment until the matter of the contract, the taxpayer subsidy, and your authorities and responsibilities are discussed under item C2 later on in this meeting. This is taxpayer money. It's being given away without any explanation whatsoever for how it's being spent. $28,458 is serious dollars, and I hope you would exercise your oversight authority by not authorizing that line item in this accounts payable. Thank you.
Other members of the public?
Are there any questions by council?
Yes.
Councilmember Luna?
Wade, this is July accounts payable. I'm assuming this has already been paid.
That's correct.
like to move approval of A2.
Well, let's hear from the public if anyone wishes to discuss or comment. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to comment? On. Seeing none, we'll return it to the council.
Move
council
approval of A2.
I'll second the motion, but I have a question for our city manager. I assume that our accounting department reviews all accounts payable and lines them up with any existing contracts and makes sure that they are paid in accordance with any agreements we have in place?
Yes.
Okay. Call the question.
One question, please. Mr. McKinney, so there's no way we could even address the issue of discontinuing the disbursements that's already been made.
Well, you could ask for the money back, I suppose, but the payment's already been made. I believe this is an item on your agenda in terms of the reporting requirements. It's item C2, so perhaps that would be the more appropriate place to discuss what additional reporting, if any, you think is appropriate from the chamber.
I agree fully. Mm-hmm. And so we have a motion. I'm sorry, was that Councilman Clay that made the motion? Councilmember O'Malley seconded the motion. A roll call, please.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. All right, we will now move to the community forum. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to issues that are not on the agenda. We just go ahead and you can give your comments now.
Okay.
So to my understanding, we are deciding not to have public comment on your agenda item for later in the evening.
Well, we can, but we could easily.
So if we're going to have it later, then that would be the appropriate time. Or if you're saying now is the time, then I assume we would not have public comment on it later.
Let me ask the city attorney.
It doesn't make any difference to me. Just
Mr. City Attorney, what do you think? Can you weigh in here? Do you have any ideas?
I think you've got the discretion if you want to allow public comment on the matter now. You could do that. Or if you prefer to defer the public comment until the item is called, you could do that then.
Well, I'm thinking the reality is the council announcements are supposed to be brief. Mine is relatively brief, and I don't know that we should necessarily cause it to be lengthy by having that comment occur then.
It's up to you.
And it appears we only have one person to speak on the issue anyway, so why don't we just allow that to occur now? Welcome.
Okay. Thank you. I want to thank Mayor Brendler for having the integrity and perseverance to expose how Marty Tracy was made the scapegoat and continues to be the scapegoat for the mistakes and lies of the city manager and the 2005 city council. They all denied giving an okay to contact the Gaughans regarding their property and possible eminent domain, and that Marty had been present in closed session when the action was approved. After jumping through many hoops, Mayor Brendler, by virtue of his position as a city council person and mayor, was able to get documentation that the city denied to me. He has worked many hours putting this documentation together, and it is posted online. I urge the listening audience to read the document. I agree with the recommendations that Mayor Brendler makes. One, that the 2005 City Council and Wade McKinney offer Mr. Tracy an apology. Two, that the disciplinary conclusions and actions that were based on scholars' investigation be expunged from his personnel file. That investigation was inadequate, and during the investigation, the city manager told Scholar that Tracy was not in the closed session meeting when, in fact, he was. Later, when deposed for the court case, McKinney acknowledges this. And three, that Marty be reimbursed for his outstanding legal fees, approximately $43,000. These three actions would be a step in the right direction, but they in no way can compensate him for the emotional and mental pain and loss of career opportunities. Roberta Fonzi, a newly elected council person, was the Gaughans' realtor, and when this is discussed, I'm wondering if she will be able to participate in those discussions. Unfortunately, there have been opportunities by the city to correct the lies, but that the city has denied Marty that recourse by saying they are protecting his privacy rights, even if he waives that right. This is a bureaucratic catch-22. Even when questioned during his deposition if the city had ever taken action to correct the lies, Mr. McKinney said no because of the privacy right issues. I find it incredible that this kind of reasoning still prevails today. The last meeting, Councilman O'Malley claimed that the information could not be made available to the public because this was a personnel issue. There would be no personnel issue if city officials...
Everyone here and everyone viewing will be in attendance on December the 5th. On December the 12th will be our annual Winter Wonderland. We are going to have 5 tons of snow downtown, along with 30 or 40 vendors, including those from as far away as San Francisco this year. So this event is growing by leaps and bounds over the last few years. We will also have Santa Claus, and we'll have lots of music and entertainment. That will be Friday, December the 12th. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the major sponsors of this event, because without their help, it wouldn't be possible. We want to thank the Atascadero News, the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce, Charter Media, Supervisor Jim Patterson, San Lucia Bank, Cat Country 96.1, the City of Atascadero, because your redevelopment agency is helping us fund special events and start and enhance special events, Lawrence Guittard, who is a local dentist, Ravat Albrecht & Associates, Sierra Summit, Central Coast Cinemas, Coast 101.3 FM, the Atascadero Kiwanis Club, the Rotman Group, and AJ Excavating. They are our major sponsors this year. Other supporters include Heritage Oaks Bank, Deku Lumber, Oak Country Lumber, Arlene's Flowers and Gifts, Atascadero Fire Department, Atascadero Police Department, Calvary Chapel, The Fence Factory, Mike Cole Trucking, Quinn Rental, Atascadero Waste Alternatives, Atascadero BMX, Griffin House, Rossi Transport, and last but not least, Harvey's Honey Huts. So we want to thank everyone for their support of Winter Wonderland. We want everyone to turn out for that occasion. We wish everyone a happy and joyous holiday season. And we want to thank the council and the redevelopment agency. And, of course, I want to thank my board of directors. As we move into 2009, our activity calendar for 2009 will provide local downtown Atascadero merchants with the opportunity to be involved in some sort of promotion on the average once every 5 days at no cost to them. So thank you and happy holidays.
Thank you, Steve. Welcome, Barbie.
He's a hard act to follow with that long list. And I won't go through my list, but I want to remind you that Coats for Kids is in full swing right now. The cleaners are cleaning free. There are drop-off places all over town. You should have all gotten a copy of the flyer so you know where the drop-off places are. Let me tell you that the numbers are up. I don't have to tell you that. I'm sure you all know it. But they're really up. They're really up all over the North County. There are probably 1,000 children at last count in Paso alone, and we're collecting for, you know, for both communities, both areas. So dig in your closets and pull out those coats and jackets and sweaters and sweatshirts. And if you want to donate money, it can be given to Loaves and Fishes and earmarked for Coats for Kids. We need toys. We need food. We need coats and jackets. So thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening, David Broadwater. I wasn't going to get up and talk, but you just did something that I think you ought to really seriously reconsider. You decided, I think, that you're not going to allow public comment later on during council announcements. Matters are being decided on that issue, so I think you made a really big mistake. Please reverse it. And if people, after hearing what is being reported on some very significant issues that are going to be brought up during that, that they want to comment, allow it. Don't cut it off.
Thank you. Welcome, Joanne.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Joanne Main. I'm here on behalf of the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. And I want to reflect a little bit on the year that we've had and these uncertain economic times that we find ourselves in. and put the word out to folks that we have to have an attitude of going forward together and having our economy turn around right here. We can start right here in Atascadero. And one of the big major events that's happening is this Friday is Black Friday, the major shopping day of the year. And I encourage all of our residents in Atascadero to look local, shop local. Do that first before you might go elsewhere or even use the internet to purchase, because our merchants here really, really can use the help this time of year. So that's my message for everyone out there, to please shop local. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Sorrel.
Good evening. Sorrel Marks, Atascadero resident, community volunteer, Parks and Recreation Commissioner, and career public servant. As many who have attended our city government meetings or watched them on video will agree that civil discourse is a primary challenge for our community. 2 weeks ago, a city workshop provided an opportunity for the first gathering of city elected officials since the election. Several council members elect, and commissioners attended. I'm sure I wasn't alone in my stunned observation of the support and even encouragement for speakers offering rude remarks or personal insults towards those offering opinions different from their own. I hope that the incoming council will find the opportunity on this bench to both learn and practice true community leadership and civil discourse in its actions. With that in mind, I'd like to thank the sitting council for its efforts to provide an improved civility at our public meetings. The candidate forums, I think, were an excellent example, and I've heard a lot of wonderful feedback from those who attended. I'd also like to thank Councilman Luna for your many, many years of patient and professional service to our community, and to Mayor Brenler, it seems like a decade of service has been condensed into a passionate 2 years, and I sincerely appreciate that you've brought to this bench selfless leadership, always putting the city's interests first. So I wish you both great satisfaction in your future endeavors and in the knowledge that you did the best that you could with the raw material that we as a community provided. Thank you.
Thank you, Sorrel. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Steve Martin and Joanne and Barbie Boots, that this holiday season is going to be very, very special. And embrace your neighbors, embrace your family. If you've got coats or things to help provide for those who are in need, please, please do so. And in during this holiday season, at our events at Sunken Gardens and downtown, please please come and enjoy the spirit of the season. And I think we had one question that was posed, and that was the issue about the allowing public comment during the council announcements. And Mr. City Attorney, I've rendered this decision, and that's an appropriate one from your perspective.
Yes, I think you have the discretion to allow public comment on
right.
an agenda item during the council meeting, and you've done that. And I think the report that that you've referenced on the agenda item has been made available to the public to review.
Right. And my comments to Mr. Broadwater would be to simply, my report is going to be relatively brief, and you'll always have an opportunity to digest that report, and then in the future, if you wish to comment to the issues therein, you certainly are welcome to do so. So that's the direction we're headed in. And Sorrel Marks, I certainly agree with your comment that civility is extremely important to our community. And I, having gone through kind of a tough 2 years and seen some of the bad side, I certainly agree with you that I hope in the future that our council will do whatever they can to bring people together and to make sure that our own behavior here at the dais reflects what we want people in the other rest of the community to see, as well as people outside our community. So that said, I think we're at the end of the community forum, and we have no public hearings tonight, but we do have some management reports. And we will begin with item C1, Colony Park Community Center Status Report, which will be presented by Community Services Director Brady Cherry. Brady?
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, a few months ago, the City Council asked the staff to bring back a report on our new Colony Park Community Center, our new 19,000 square foot facility that has been open since December of 2007. So now that we're in 11 months of operation, it's a good time to look back and see how the facility is doing, what the programming is like, how the public is receiving it. Look at some numbers, and just give you an overall sense of what's going on over there at the Colony Park Community Center. First, I wanted to just let you know what the hours of operation are. When school is in session, the hours are Monday through Friday from 3 to 8 p.m., Saturdays 12 to 6, and Sundays 1 to 5. Then on holidays and school breaks, it's Monday through Friday 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday 12 to 6, and Sunday 1 to 5. I should mention that we have experience coming to the, particularly the teen center and the homework lab, using the gym and the fields around Colony Park Center. Very popular after school. Just to give you an idea of what's going on programmatically in the teen center, the slide behind me shows kids playing with our air hockey table. We have foosball, which is this table right here. There's the air hockey table. This is all in the teen center. We have Wii or Xbox both there at the center. We have arcade-style games. We have a number of ping pong tables. In fact, some days the teen center is so crowded we have to set up ping pong tables either in the gym or outdoors because there's just not enough room. There's so many kids that are in the teen center itself. On early release days, on those Fridays in particular, we see a very high number of kids over there. Obviously, there is a need for some after-school activities for teens, and we feel that the teen center in particular is fulfilling that need very well. We also do special events. We've had some dances over there. I mentioned the hours earlier. Normally, you know, closing at 8 or something like that, depending on the day of the week. Obviously, on weekends, Friday nights and Saturdays, we may have dances there. We've had concerts. We've had, during Halloween, a Halloween party. And we've even seen a number of outside groups rent the facility for weekends as well. So we're doing a lot of those types of special events. And after school, I would say we're averaging 40 to 60 kids per day, and sometimes it's even more than that. We've seen as many as 100 kids or so in the teen center on any given day. This is another slide behind me of the teen center. You can see there's a variety of things for the kids to do. We have, you know, televisions above, which may have ESPN on or some other show the kids want to watch. We also have movies that we show. We've had to get a special public performance license to show movies indoors on a regular basis, similar to what we do when we have movies in the park. We have to get a public performance license for that. The number you see down here in the lower left-hand corner of the screen, we have over 830 teens that are members in the teen center. And that's just been real tremendous. In fact, I think if you notice, there's a discrepancy in the number I gave you in my staff report, which was written a couple of months ago. We had 692 teens. Since I originally wrote that report, it's grown, obviously, and we're up to 830-some teens now that are members. This particular slide, I want you to look at it very carefully. some of the department heads were doubting whether or not I could pull this off or not. What you see here is actually shots from our security cameras at different angles in, it's actually up here. You can see there's a Dance Revolution game. There's the pool table, one of the ping pong tables. That's the air hockey, foosball, and the lounge area where the kids sit and chat and play games, and they might play Guitar Hero or Wii or one of our other games. So this gives you an idea, and I was counting the other day when I first looked at this, the number of kids in this particular shot, and I counted over 35 kids just in this particular. If you went and counted all the kids throughout here and the kids coming and going, there was about 35 kids there. So it gives you an idea what it looks like on any given day. We also have a great partnership that's developed with a new concessionaire that's running our cafe for us. It's LaBeouf's Restaurant. They were formerly located on El Camino Real in the Virginia Plaza, and they decided to move in and partner with the city to offer food and beverage there in the community center. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 11 to 9. They're closed on Sunday. They do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so you can go over there. They have wonderful coffee. In the mornings, they have some regulars that go in there that aren't necessarily students. They're adults or contractors or people stopping in for a breakfast sandwich, or they have very good breakfast burritos. I'll give them a plug for that. They also offer lunch and dinner, so you can go over there at lunchtime. And, of course, after school, it's kind of a madhouse, as you can see in that previous slide. There's a lot of kids there getting snacks after school and, different drinks, and they have frozen yogurt and a lot of things. A real good menu. In fact, we were talking about it just earlier, the staff, that they have some real good brisket, and so some of us are going to go over there and try that. The homework lab was something that was a big goal when we first started planning the community center. I know Dr. Luna would remember when we were talking about having this type of activity as well as other fun things to do in the community center. It's open to all ages, not just teens. Any student can go over there. It's one of the nice things, we have a partnership with the junior high, and as you know, students at the high school or junior high, they have a set of books at school and they have a set of books at home. But when they're in transit, we found out early on, it's hard to do your homework when you don't have your book. So we worked with Mr. Smith, the principal at the junior high, and now we have a set of textbooks for 7th and 8th grade on hand there in the homework lab. And you can see in this slide, there's a couple of kids being helped there. And in there, I'd say we're having 8-10 kids a day, sometimes as few as 5, but sometimes it's full. And so that's 3 to 5, and it's free. So any child that needs some help, we have people there to help them, and it's working out great. And I have to also give some kudos again to our technology department, because they help set up the homework lab. That we have 12 laptops in there. They're all networked to a little printer there. We've got some special software called NetNanny that helps make sure that they're not going onto sites they're not supposed to go onto, and it's just a real fantastic lab. And this also serves as a conference room when it's not being used. It's the homework lab. Some of the SMART, and it's a particular curriculum for very young children to introduce them to sports in a very friendly, positive, developmental way in introducing them to skills. We also have drop-in basketball, drop-in volleyball, and adult basketball we've been offering, and we recently were advertising for a 3-on-3 tournament. We have a number of contract classes. These are the types of classes that we have historically offered over at the Pavilion on the Lake. We offer them spring, summer, and fall. We are offering over 45 classes. Many of the classes we've moved out, almost all of them have moved out of the Pavilion and now meet there. And we have everything from, say, a computer class or how to sell on eBay to ballet and tap classes. And the lower left slide there is an example of one of our painting classes. That could be watercolor. I can't really tell. But a lot of good things happening there. To give you an example, especially for some of the members of the public, either in the audience or watching at home on television, these are some of the spaces that we have. This is the gymnasium when it's being used as a meeting room. This is our dance and exercise room. It's got a wonderful dance floor. It can be used for self-defense classes as well as dance classes. There's mirrors and ballet bars. And that particular room has a wall kind of like the pavilion that you can divide the space into, and it's all automatic. This is our arts and crafts room where our painting class was taking place. And this is a conference room that was in use for a variety of things. The Youth Task Force has been using it recently, but a lot of different groups are using it as well. We have some nice outdoor areas that we were able to add to Colony Park outside as part of the construction of the community center. This is our new picnic area, which will obviously serve not only the community center, but also the girls' softball fields that are right next door. We'll be able to see teams having parties over there after their softball games and things like that. And then these are our outdoor basketball courts here, and we have one full court and one half court, and they're going to be in use quite a bit come next month as well when the basketball program starts. Mayor Brindler, you had asked me a couple of questions about revenues and things like that. When we were originally in construction of this building and putting together the current two-year budget, Rochelle Rickard and I were trying to determine what our revenues might be. And so in the actual budget document that we have for this fiscal year, there's no anticipated revenues because we weren't actually sure when we were going to open the facility. But more recently, Rochelle and I estimated, well, we'll be conservative, $10,000 the first year for revenues for the facility. I can let you know that the rental revenues so far in the first 11 months have been $11,000 already. The memberships for the teen center are $9,900, and they're simply $10 a year in the kids. That concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brady. Yeah, and I understand that that it wasn't designed to generate revenue, but that revenue does help defray the operational expenses, and so that's it's great to see that we're meeting that meeting those objectives. So, anybody from the council that would like to ask a question?
I got my light on.
I'm sorry, Councilmember Luna.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Brady, I think there's the CBDG monies are about $9,000 or $10,000 for scholarships that you mentioned. And so since we have new programs in place, are those sufficient? Or what would be your estimate as to what would be necessary?
I'm actually glad you asked that. I think when we first started the scholarship program, we were getting about $10,000 from the Community Development Block Grant funds for the scholarship program. At times in years past, we've actually given out over $11,000 in scholarships in a year. We've seen the allocation from CDBG drop down. And I think this year it's only like $3,300, if I remember correctly, was the recommendation. So we have far more applications for scholarships than what we're able to give out. And the way the committee and I are doing that is if somebody, say, wants to be involved in a program like cheer or youth football or any of the programs out there, both operated by the city or any of the nonprofits like Little League or soccer, we're only giving out 50% scholarships right now in order to spread the money around to the most families as possible, to as many families as possible. So one of the things that I've talked to Rochelle about was getting input back to the committee and back to the council that, the scholarship program is basically, especially in these economic times, not able to keep up with the demand or the number of applications we have.
So do you think it's still around $11,000, or do you think
no,
it's going to be increasing
only,
because of the
downturn
in the economy?
I'm not sure what the total requests are, but we're staying within We have had some donations in the past, like Little League used to give us $1,000 to offset some of their players and families that were receiving scholarships. We had donations from some private individuals as well. But our actual the outlay for scholarships was more like $5,600 last year, because that's how much money we had. This year it'll be less. Our demand is still about $10,000 a year is what we're seeing in terms of the requests.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Clay.
Brady, in regards to adult participation, like in the morning hours, are you having any of that, or how's that going?
I would say with the adults, it's primarily our organized classes like yoga. Uh-huh. We have a senior walking group. We have the painting classes and things like that. About lunchtime, we see some adults come in to play basketball. Most of those tend to be younger men, you know, playing basketball. But it's pretty quiet for the most part during the day still, unless it's an organized activity.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Subsidize a number of activities. In order to do that, we'd have to have either somebody to teach an activity or oversee an activity or organize an activity. So it'd be nice to have some senior center type of activities there, but we would really have to have some programmatic funds in order to do that, because those types of programs need subsidies, is typically the case in most agencies.
And when we first opened, we were thinking it was going to take about $400,000 a year just to run the facility. Are you finding that to be the case?
Pleasantly, we're well under that. When we reviewed the expenditures this last fiscal year, which would have been from December 2007 to July 30, we performed very well. We were well under that $400,000 budget. So Rochelle was pleased with that. We think part of that, though, is that everything's new. We're not in the mode where we're replacing equipment and furniture and things like that. It does get a lot of hard use, as you can see from the pictures, especially from kids in the teen years. But we may be able to reduce that budget somewhat, say, this next 2 fiscal year cycle, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. But we are well within that budget.
And then this might be a little bit off topic, but I know that when we built the community center, it wasn't built as it was approved in terms of its location. Can you speak at all to when we're going to go to revision of that master plan of development?
Yes, that's an excellent question. One of the things that happened when we built the facility is we had to slide it a little bit and from where it was located in the original master plan. And one of the things that we've been looking at is how much sense does it really make to move those 2 softball fields to another location, because you've got all the expense of doing that and you still end up with 2 softball fields. You don't really gain much. So we've also got a new overflow basin that the Public Works Department has to replace the old one out there, and we've got plans for that. So that's going to require, as you mentioned, a revision to the park master plan, and we're anticipating taking that to the newly seated Parks and Recreation Commission probably in February or March, getting that going, and hopefully have that back to the council in the spring, because once that master plan is approved, we can go forward in putting in the new overflow basin in, which will be smaller and more out of the way, and then we'll be able to master plan that open area where the current overflow basin is now.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, we'll open it to the public. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak? Welcome.
Larry Johnson, Atascadero, Mr. Mayor and council members. I want to talk as the past chair of the YMCA and current board member of the YMCA. We do some cooperative things with the city here at that center. We do considerably more at the center in Paso Robles, and I've always been a proponent of public-private partnerships, and the YMCA is certainly open as funding gets tighter and staffing gets tougher to discuss ways we might be able to cooperate to expand what we help you do here in Atascadero site.
And besides
LaBeouf's is a great place to eat right there on site, and I see a lot of kids enjoying eating there and families during an event. So, again, it was a lot of work. A long time our community waited for this, but I think staff have done a tremendous job all through this project, and the community really appreciates it.
Mayor Pro Tem Barrow?
I just also wanted to thank the staff for doing such a great job with the community center. Just this last weekend, we held one of our community workshops for the economic development strategy, and our consultants were just amazed at the beauty of our facility and it being one of the indicators that our community can pull together and really pull off a big project, and it's something for us to be proud of. I've been to LaBeouf's. I can tell you they have great pulled pork sandwiches. I have an 11-year-old and 14-year-old, and I'm very thankful that there's a resource, you know, if I have to work late or something, they can always go there, and it's a safe place, and they won't be getting in trouble, and we don't want that to happen. So thank you, staff, and I'm glad we have this facility.
And I echo that. Thank you, Brady, and thank you to the staff for doing a wonderful job on this project. All right. Do we just need consensus for receive and file? Do we have consensus for that? All right. Then we will move on to item C2, comparison of reports received by cities from the chambers, from their chambers of commerce, and that's to be presented by Marcia Torgerson, the city clerk. Marcia?
Thank you, Mayor and council members. Excuse me. On September 23rd, the council did direct staff to retrieve samples of reports that other cities receive from their chambers of commerce. Staff did contact the other cities within the county. There's seven of us altogether, so the six other cities, to ask for a copy of these reports from the chambers. Once we started receiving these reports, we saw a wide variety of information and style and formats of reports. So we contacted the cities again to find out about how they come to these conclusions of why these reports were so different. And I found that they all had different agreements with their chambers, different than ours. Their agreements were pretty different, and including even Arroyo Grande doesn't even have an agreement with their chamber. They don't fund their chamber, so they don't receive any reports. So I then asked for all the agreements from the cities that they have with the chambers so that we could compare appropriately the apple-to-apple theory. I did attach to the report on page 57 a table that we put together that lists all the cities, and it shows you, like I said, it shows you that Arroyo Grande doesn't fund, but all the others, it shows how much they fund and whether they have an agreement and what type of information they require from reports, if they require reports. And then I did attach to the report also the agreements and the reports from the chambers so that you could compare. I want to make a note on that table. You can see that even the funding is a wide range from like $40,000 up to $146,000. So there's obviously a wide range of information that they would also be asking from their different chambers. Also, I did, as I said, attach all the reports and the agreements. The Atascadero agreement starts on page 59. And I wanted to mention that to you, that it also, if you furnish semi-annual reports of its promotional activities to the city, which shall consist of the activities scheduled for the next six succeeding months and a review of the activities accomplished during the preceding 6 months. Said reports shall include a detailed breakdown of all amounts expended and expected to be expended by the chamber for said activities. As was mentioned and has been mentioned at a couple of meetings, but it was mentioned tonight also by a member of the public, that the reports that we have received from the chamber have not included that detailed breakdown as is in that report. In the years that I've worked here, I've never had a council point out that omission or ask that it be included. We have, though, occasionally had a council member maybe ask a question about a particular event, not necessarily about money, but just might have a question, want additional information from the chamber. Actually, usually they just call the chamber themselves, but sometimes they would contact staff and we would ask them for the additional information, and then they would gladly give that to us. As in fact, even last year, it was actually mentioned to me by the chamber that Mayor Pro Tem Barrow had asked for information last year about financial breakdown, and which she received. But again, there was no collective request that there was a problem, that it wasn't being done because of the agreement. But definitely any time if the council wants to add information, even information, there might be something that you would like to see that isn't in the agreement, I'm sure that if we ask the chamber, they'd be glad to add that. It's just a matter of us communicating with them and letting them know what we're expecting. So that's pretty much the end of my report. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Just one thing.
Councilmember Clay?
Could you describe the sliding scale, how that works, Marcia?
How we fund the chamber?
Yeah, the sliding scale.
Yeah, that's actually...
I think it's really a formula, isn't it? Not a sliding scale.
It's a formula, yes.
Right.
Let me
tell
you what page it's on here. It's on page 66 of your staff report. And as it lists, it says that it's a weighted average that's calculated, and it comes from, they use 10% of the prior year's business license fees and 6.5% of the prior year's transient occupancy tax that is received, and then 0.25% of the prior year's sales tax.
Right. So it fluctuates each year is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Pro Tem Burrow.
Do you know, because I was looking at the other cities, they seem to have a more clear-cut way. How did we come up with this formula? Was that just someone's good idea? Or?
Actually, this is from 1992. I wasn't working here then,
okay.
So I honestly don't know how it was
okay.
Derived.
All right, thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. The way you describe that formula, it sounds like they get paid based on the performance of our business community, and we would like to think there's a direct correlation by their activities. I know for myself, I haven't needed as much follow-up input because I regularly attend chamber mixers. The chamber business visits, I think, have been very valuable. You can visit the office anytime, board members. And my understanding is that the public council members are always welcome at any of these activities or membership. Is that your understanding as well?
Sure, yes.
So I think there's a real openness to be involved in any of
the
notes
three?
On page 61.
Well, that was just that when we were putting this together, we realized that sentence was missing at the bottom of which looks like page 60 now from your report. There was a sentence missing there, so we went and pulled out the original agreement that from the 1992 staff report that was submitted to the council for approval, and it had that completed sentence. So we just pulled that page out and inserted it here so that you could see that final sentence on that item number three.
So the notes or the language that are reflected in the notes was something that was added recently?
Yeah, the handwritten notes is just something that my assistant did when she pulled that out recently.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Councilmember O'Malley, did you have another question?
Oh.
All right. Seeing no other questions, we will open it to the public. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak? Welcome.
Good evening, members of the council. My name is David Broadwater. This number that's up on the screen is what we're talking about here. The number on the bottom of the screen, $170,065.25, is the amount of taxpayer subsidy that the city council has given to the Atascadero Chamber during those 3 years, 2006 through 2008. I've submitted to you information about this at prior meetings, so you have copies of the contracts or the contract between the city and the chamber so that you know that the contract requires two reports per year, which shall include a detailed breakdown of all amounts expended and expected to be expended by the chamber pursuant to this contract. You know that the figures that are there, you've already received an itemized tabling of every check that's ever been sent to the chamber over this time period. These are just the annual totals. But they come from your own agenda reports and the distribution listings that have been on the council agenda. This is not about picking on any individual or any individual organization. This is about your responsibility for oversight and protecting the interests of people who elect you and the taxpayers of this town. You also have received copies on the record
of each one of the reports, every report that the chamber has submitted, in which it's supposed to account for taxpayer money. There are supposed to be six of them during this three-year period, but there are not. In 2006, they failed to submit one report. They only submitted one instead of two. In 2007, they did the same thing, submitted only one report, not two. 2008, they have submitted two reports. However, and these have been submitted on the record for your perusal, when you read these reports, you will find that there is absolutely no mention in these reports of any receipt of taxpayer money, and no mention whatsoever of how that money has been expended in the past or expected to be expended in the future. It's your responsibility, and you have the authority under this contract to...
I took over the chamber in 2000. I'd learned about reports that needed to be done, and I made my attempt to look at previous records since they had been doing them since 1992, followed that same format, had some discussion with Mr. McKinney when I first was on the job, just to make sure that I was providing, you know, adequate information, and I was assured I was. And if at any time that anybody has ever wanted any other information from us, we would gladly do it. It's not anything we're trying to hide. It's not an omission error. When Ellen Burrow came in and wanted to know how we use the funding, basically it was for the contract for service to provide visitor and business-related issues to our constituents here in Atascadero. And what I learned in doing the exercise was that about 60% of staff time, the front office staff time, is devoted to just those services, to helping visitors, helping businesses that have questions that want to locate here. And so I went through the exercise of allocating 60% of the overhead on those individuals and came up with a shortfall, actually, that the costs of providing the service exceeds by about a third of what we're reimbursed to provide the services that we do. So I thought it was a great exercise, and if that's something that you want to hear more of, I'd be glad to provide that. I just need to know what you'd like to receive. As far as our contract goes, I think it was carefully crafted in 1992, and the next speaker, Ray Johnson, was on the council at the time, so he can answer you all of those questions. It is a performance-based contract. It means that what we do here is measurable. We have outcomes, and if the city does well, we do well. If the city does poorly, we do poorly. So it is a reflection on what we are attempting to do for the business community with the business community. So if you have any other questions of me, I'd be glad to answer them, but just know that all I need to know is what you'd like to see, and I'd be glad to provide it.
I have one question. Yeah, Joanne, so what you're saying is when you came aboard, you looked at the previous reports, and you proceeded to do them exactly the way they're done since 1992.
And I actually hope I had made them better.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I think I provided quite a bit more information. If you can compare and look at the other chambers, I provide quite a bit more information, maybe not as detailed financial information, but definitely the activities of the chamber.
We appreciate what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Mayor Pro Tem Burrow has a question for you.
Okay. So the city provides, $57,000 a year. What's your overall budget so people can get an idea of how much the chamber spends promoting or working in our business community?
Our overall budget is close to $300,000.
Okay.
Right around there. I believe when I last calculated, the contract constitutes around 19% of our budget. The rest comes from membership investments and our fundraising. Mm-hmm. Through different activities.
And just a comment that I want to share with you is looking at the language in the 1992 contract, some of it doesn't include any of the things that you guys are doing now, like 3 years, and we have a 17, 18-year-old, or whatever, 1992 to now, is a long period of time, and it seemed like it might be a good time. Not that we want to change it to the negativity.
I don't think ours has that as specificity as the others. I think
right.
Ours is general, that we will continue to provide visitor services and business services, and I would take that as what's currently necessary.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you want to make something more specific, you can, but I mm-hmm. don't think it's absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Councilmember Luna?
Joanne, so what you're saying is you would like to fulfill the existing contract, which included the semi-annual reports as well as a detailed breakdown of all amounts expended and expected to be expended by the chamber. You wouldn't have a problem with...
I wouldn't have a problem as it relates to the contract.
So
I don't think reporting on every dime that the chamber receives and what we do as a corporation is public knowledge. I do believe whatever is relating to the contract for the services of the visitor center and what we operate there, surely.
I think it basically talks about accounting for the activities scheduled for the next succeeding months and a review of the activities accomplished during the preceding 6 months, and including a detailed breakdown of the amounts expended for those activities.
Well, and mainly it's just really an allocation of overhead for the activities of what we do in the chamber. It's the rent, it's the lights, it's the staffing that provide the services to do the research to write the visitor guide, to do the research to revise a city map. I mean, those are ongoing projects that we do, and it would be like an allocation of that time and effort.
Yeah, I understand. The criticism was that, first of all, we're not getting the semi-annual reports that are called for in the contract, as well as this breakdown of the cost of the activities, basically so that the taxpayers can know how the money is being spent.
Sure, and I'm open to changing the way the report is done.
Okay, thank
whatever
you.
What you request today would be, you know, fine. I just didn't ever know there was a problem.
I didn't either. So,
pardon?
But clearly, there are some members of the public who want to see some transparency here, and I think that we should at least adhere to the contract, the existing contract, until
surely.
It's changed. Okay, thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley, I'm sorry I skipped you.
Thank you. I'm used to it. I do know that transparency comes by showing up, and I do invite the public to shoot. You can be an individual member of the chamber if folks choose to be, but I know you've always welcomed folks to all of the activities. Now, again, you'd said that the city's investment in chamber represents about 19% of your total $300,000 budget, and that 19% is really made up of several categories of funds that it sounded to me like each one of them was performed. We're talking about transient occupancy tax and sales tax. Those are three things we are targeting as income for the city, and you're getting a portion of that essentially to reinvest. And my experience with other organizations, I know compared to Monterey County, Santa Barbara County, other counties, we are outspent about 4-1 on marketing, and it seems like we have gotten a bargain in our community and need to look at maybe doing more on marketing. But are also, in addition to the categories of funds are performance-based, it
sounds like... Do you have questions?
Yes. The question is, could you just give a quick overview of the kind of things that you do report that you... There's a lot of things the chamber does, but what do you think are the categories of things you do for the city? Is it it's primarily visitor-related, and how do you count that?
Well... I would imagine it's staffing from what the if I recall in the contract it's staffing the chamber to be open to handle visitor traffic, to provide information to businesses that want to relocate here. It's keeping all the publications up and current. Like we produce the official city map, and it's providing the publication the visitor guide and business directory. That provides, you know, very important information for folks to utilize services here. We also update an economic profile that we now publish only online so that we can do changes periodically as soon as we see changes occur, instead of creating a document that once we printed it once a year would go out of date. So we provide those kinds of things that are available. We work with the hotels and marketing. We provide adequate space in our new office so that they can display items for use of people that are new to town. We offer referral service, and we also manage quite an extensive website that's linked to many different websites to further the information of what people can gather. And on that website is also posted links to the city, but we also post the Buxton Report, our economic forecast, and our economic profile so that we can give up-to-date information to people that want to look to locate a business here.
Okay, thank you.
Does that help you enough?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay, you had a question?
Yes. You know, I agree with George. I didn't know there was a problem. And I do appreciate the fact that you come to a lot of the meetings and you keep us informed. And the way I see it, the idea is you stimulate sales tax income for the city, you stimulate TOT for the city, and in some respects you stimulate sales or property tax for the city too as we get new businesses and people coming in. So I think the chamber's doing an outstanding job, and if you need to put some numbers in on the report, why, fine, but I appreciate what you're doing, and the idea is that you make the city money. That's the way I look at it. And that's why we got a performance-based fee. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? No.
The city's finance person, he came up with this formula saying this is the most accurate way to track it. It was not an invention of the city council. It came out of staff in those days. So we moved it out of the contribution mode, even though we sort of tacitly knew it was a contract, into a contract mode. And so the chamber is not any more of a subsidy than PG&E. We subsidize PG&E for electricity. You subsidize the chamber for services rendered. And obviously it's up to the council to negotiate the details of the services and the requested responses and those things as you've talked. But that's a little bit of the background of how we got there in the first place. May I take a tangential run here just a moment, please? Councilman Merluna, we ran together 8.5 years of those 20 and a half years. I can't believe 20 and a half. That's incredible. And most people would point out, well, you were part of that nasty four. It was against the one. But I remember some tough, tough times when we worked together to solve some major, major issues back in those days in the city, and we worked as a 5-0 council. And I just want to comment on the fact that you always acted as a gentleman. You never personalized our disagreements. We had many on some issues, but we worked hard together on others, and I appreciate all your good service. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. And if I could just add, we were part of the team that interviewed Wade and hired Wade.
Yes, we were. So. Thank you for your services.
Welcome.
Good evening. Jay DeCou, 6705 San Lucia. Just got home from work, and I saw you all down here working, and I see there was a lack of history in the formula, but I see Ray answered all those questions. He and I were on the chamber board together in 92 when this was originally hammered out. I was chamber president in 95, and this was a performance-based formula. So if the business community does good, we get paid well. The TOT tax actually was raised at that time so that we could accommodate more to the chamber. So the formulas worked well. In 95, my year, when I reported to council, I had met with the city manager at the time, Andy Takata, and we figured that the chamber was saving the city exactly what the taxes were being paid out, so about half. So what we were doing at that time for $40,000 would have cost the city about $80,000 to do what we were doing. So manning the phones, answering the phones, sending out the mailings, responding to people's requests. In those years, it was a bargain for the city. So that's how we hammered out that formula, and I think the chamber has done the city well over the years. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome.
Ted Jacobson, California Meridian Insurance, 9700 El Camino. And I go back to the 1990 to 95 or so on the board. I was present when that was negotiated as well. And if my memory is correct, the budget from the city back then was about $26,000, $27,000. And that was probably half the chamber budget. We scrambled with 300 or so members to fulfill the role for a visitor information bureau, if you will, and trying to attract businesses. And that was hammered out to help out the business community here. And really, I wish that the people that try to raise these skeletons or whatever would put as much energy into trying to help the business community as they do trying to pull things down. We sure could use the help. With respect to the chamber, I think it's earned every dime it's ever gotten. And it's just been a fantastic morale booster for this town. I think Joanne and the chamber have shown extremely good leadership in trying to pull people together and solve common issues and problems rather than be divisive. So I really think that you're getting a hell of a bang for your buck with the chamber. And, you know, we go back about 17 years with this organization, back to the days when it struggled, and now here we are. And it's been very, very successful, and its very success is now being challenged by people. And I don't have any qualms about the chamber's use of the money or their reporting it to the public as far as what's been going on. It's all above board and, you know, no problems there. So anyway, I just wanted to say something on behalf of the chamber. We're glad they're here.
Thank you. Welcome.
Excuse me. I'm Joan O'Keefe, and my comments are based on what I've been hearing tonight. I have not read the report. If I'm hearing correctly, there's no oversight here by the city to see that the report has complied with the requirements. That does bother me. Even some reports were missed, and there was nothing on the radar to catch this. I really do think there needs to be some oversight to make sure that whatever formula you come up with, that there is compliance with that. The other thing is the assumption that it's performance-based, I don't think that's proven. You haven't proven there's a correlation between the taxes that are received and what the chamber's doing. That is an assumption. And to me, I did see one of the reports, and it's a narrative report. That's the strangest accounting report that I've ever seen. Typically, you will have an accounting report, and then it can be backed up by a narrative to explain it. But what I'm hearing is just simply a list of things, and it appears to me to be woefully inadequate.
Tom Comar, Atascadero. I think this is a good example. Is she okay? When citizens bring up issues that they're concerned about, those people who the issue is brought up about take a defensive stance and try to come in and make everything personal and try to defend those individuals in the chamber, for example. And this is the same in this case. And I think that that's very divisive. No one's trying to be divisive here. I think Dave Broadwater has brought up excellent points. I brought them up myself in the past likewise. And one of the reasons that I'm concerned about it is from a political point of view, and that is that, one, the public doesn't know they could go to the chamber and say, well, look, how did you spend the public tax money that you got that the city would have gotten? The questions come up because the chamber takes a lot of political stands in this community. They represent business. Just because previous reports were narrative reports doesn't make it right. The contract spells it out, detailed expenditures. And that needs to be done, and I would recommend that at least be done tonight for all the next reports. And then if there's a question of wanting to take up the contract as a whole or any issue of a formula for the chamber, that could be done at a previous time and however the council deems that should be done. But I think at least tonight the chamber needs to follow the contract and put in the monies and how they're spent so there is no question.
Thank you. Excuse me, would you mind deferring to the lady behind you? I think she has. Okay. Thank you very much. Welcome.
Thank you. I came here in 1972, 1973 to establish myself and to do something about the three-dimensional crafts, high quality, and because this was a place where there was nothing. There were no facilities with anything other than junk crafts, that's what I call them. And I have my place. It is right near the park in an excellent location. It was carefully chosen. But the place has on it an old house built by a 5-foot-tall, one-eyed alcoholic. And it has, I keep putting it back together again because it's not good. But I still have the same ambition that I wanted when I came here. I wanted a craft maker's village or a center with fine quality. Those kind of places in other counties and other cities and other states have been successful, and they have brought money to each community. And I don't know that it's going to right now because everything else is kind of low. But I would like to make some kind of agreement with the city to do that. That land is still there. It's still good. It's in the right place. And the ideas are still valid. I would like to work with anybody on the council or anywhere else to help me to establish it. I'm not so young anymore. And I want to leave that property in good hands. Please get in touch with me if you can. I'm Dorothy Smith, and we will do something about it. In the past, I have talked with Mr. Terry, but I have not met our woman member of the board, and I would like to do something about it. If you want to work with me, let's get together. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Welcome.
Hard to bring business into our town. It's working very well to serve the businesses of our town. The money that the Chamber of Commerce takes when it's given by your council generously, it's evidenced by what Joanne Main and our attest and the chamber does with it. It's not like it's taken out and it's burnt. It's used and it's evidenced. I can understand that there would be a concern with a specific accounting. Everybody, you know, Joanne did an accounting. Perhaps it wasn't done detailed enough or often enough, but it's not like it disappeared. But the divisiveness that perhaps it wasn't being utilized properly is probably one of the issues. I think probably one of the things we need to address most of all is that the business people do see what the chamber does, and I think our town sees what the chamber does every day. And I think we just need to be addressing and thanking our Chamber of Commerce. We don't need to have this transparency in government be an opportunity for nitpicking and an opportunity for criticism. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Seeing none, return it to the council. And are there any questions? I'm sorry, any other comments or questions?
I have
some. Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou.
Well, I want to thank Marsha for pulling all this information together. I didn't even know this was really coming at us, but it was really thorough. I was like, wow, look at all the different things that people are doing. And one thing I did notice is when you look at the contracts with the different communities, it does really reflect what type of community it is. Back in 1992, we weren't thinking about tourism in Atascadero. But when you look at contracts for, you know, Pismo Beach, Morro Bay, they have a huge emphasis on running their visitor center. And that really hasn't been a big emphasis for us. But as you all know, we're looking at ways for our community to survive, and tourism might be in our future, and that might be something we want to specify in the future for the chamber. So I appreciate having a chance to review it. I think at this point we could keep it the same, but I do think that we need to bring the contract, not to revise it to criticize, but to revise it to bring it up to current language and contracts. A lot of the other contracts have clauses that protect the city that aren't in ours, and it'd be good for our current city attorney to review that. And also, ADE, our consultant who's doing our economic development strategy, they will have a very strong action plan for us to follow, and that might be something that gives us ideas of things that we might want the chamber to work on that currently isn't in the contract. I'm not here wanting to be punitive to the chamber. I think the chamber is important in every community, but I think that it would be on the best interest of the city and the community at large to have the contract enforced the way it is, and think about what kind of partnerships we want, how we want it to grow in the future, because communities change over the years. Our community has changed since 1992, so I'm sure that we'll be able to work with the Chamber Board and Joanne to come up with what's best.
Please go on.
I was just going to mention that after listening to a few of the comments from the public, I think that maybe some people don't realize that, at least since I've been here, I know that these contract reports from the chamber come in every 6 months, and we copy them and give them to each council member. So the council members get these every 6 months. So it's not like that they just get filed in a drawer and you don't see them. So the council, whoever, now there were a few times that we didn't receive them. I know even with the previous executive director, she had a very serious illness, and I know there were some problems that they had getting those things out. And there were a couple times, I think, due to a personal issue, a medical issue also, since Joanne's been on, that there's been one or two times where the report didn't come out. Whether it was negligent, I would say no. It just, you know, circumstances that we were aware of. And but I did want to make sure that everyone realized that council does receive those reports.
Thank you. And Councilmember O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, again, I think the performance-based funding was a very good idea the staff had initially. And I think the fact that this contract hasn't changed and it doesn't have specificity, that is why the contract has been valuable, and everything you've stated are things that the chamber has been able to adapt to over time because the contract allows for that kind of growth. I work with every other chamber in this county, and they have had to adapt as well, and I think that is a strength rather than a weakness that we have our chamber with a contract that is adaptable to the needs as they change, and I think that's something to consider. I would certainly support we get it into a word processor next time in case, but I do think it really is on council. Just the fact that we do receive these reports, every one of us gets them in our box, I think it's on us as council members to be active in the community and be involved with activities, and then if we have questions, we can certainly raise them. Thank you.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes, you know, I think the chamber is extremely active and motivated, and I would encourage the folks that may be questioning them to start going to their events. They have all kinds of things going on, it's really motivating to go to those events. And so I would encourage the folks that question the chamber somehow to start going to their events, and I think they'd find that they're doing a heck of a job.
Councilmember Luna?
Any revision of this contract is going to be up to the next council. But I think until that happens, I think that the city administration should make sure that the existing contract is enforced. In particular, number 3, which talks about the semiannual report and the accounting. We have had oftentimes Joanne Main come to the podium and essentially give a annual report of some type and give the council various bits of information that the chamber has done. And I think that that's probably not a
nice comment. That there was a suggestion to perhaps terminate the contract, and I don't feel comfortable with that at all. I can't support that. This is, you know, certainly my last full meeting. I'm in lame duck status, as they say, and I'm not going to engage in behavior similar to what happened with the Board of Supervisors and the meeting referenced Santa Margarita Ranch. I don't think that was appropriate, and I won't engage in behavior like that myself. I'm going to be in 2 weeks off this council. But I think that there's some important recommendations that I can make for hopefully the next council. And I do believe that the contract should be restructured, not necessarily so much in the area of language, but certainly in format. Currently, it almost looks as if it's a cut and paste. We have different fonts. It just doesn't look very professional. And I do absolutely believe that there should be better adherence to the contract language, reference the semi-annual reporting, and detailed documentation reference expenditures. I don't think I heard tonight challenges to the chamber. What I heard was just people speaking to the issue that this is taxpayers' money, and there should be some response ability to as far as compliance to contract language. That's what I was hearing. And so I just don't see that, divisive or challenge issue going on, because I think people just simply want to see contract language enforced. And I think in this day and age, in this world, that's probably not a bad idea. So I don't – are there any other comments? Mayor Pro Tem Bureau?
Just for the sake of what I found interesting in the other contracts that I think would be good to include if the future council does decide, is the focus on visitor services that are on many other contracts. They have much more detailed breakdown of contacts and follow-up and things like that. And, of course, when you look at our numbers compared to other cities, we have much fewer numbers, and we can talk about things like goals and ways we can promote our community. So a more detailed report. A new language I would include is increasing the frequency of reports to quarterly. I think that 6 months is a long time. And the city of Paso Robles has an item about political activity and the use of public funds. And we've talked a lot about that during the election season, and we didn't have Measure D08 because we didn't want to misuse public funds. And I think that, you know, we do have an active chamber. They can be political at times, and some people feel that sometimes if you're being supported by a public entity, that is a conflict, and it may not be. But I think that being transparent about it and having something that says that you must make sure those funds are earmarked for non-political activities, because that would be breaking the law. I'm not saying anyone broke the law, but I think we should be clear as a community how we spend our money. And I hope in the future we can just kind of revise this, bring it up to date in terms of the current technology that we deal with. I'm sure vagueness is sometimes fine, but sometimes specificity can also be helpful. Thank you.
Councilmember O'Malley.
Well, thank you. Twice or maybe three times I've heard someone at least make an innuendo of
I think the council's got the discretion to recall Joanne Mame if you
all
want
right. Joanne, would you like to come up and address that issue?
I'm sorry, were you implying that I had innuendo? Because that was not my intent.
Yep.
That was not my intent.
All right, let's stop this. Let's hear what Joanne has to say, and then we'll move on.
I'm not sure really what you want to hear, other than I could start with our membership dues that we receive. We indicate to our members that 2% of their dues can be used for lobbying efforts and may not be used as a normal business expense on their tax returns. And in our publications that we do, we do inform our members about issues. We've researched issues. And with items on the ballot, when we do take a position, and look at the amount of space we use in our newsletter. To provide that information, it falls well below the $1,000 limit to call us up, that we need to be a registered PAC. We're very much in normal range of activity for chambers of commerce.
I think when you say lobby, I think you're usually lobbying us, right, at
right.
council meetings.
Right. And
we appreciate
that. The rules are different. Like if I were to go up to Sacramento, I have to then actually report the amount of money spent to do that. And that has a different level that you reach. I don't do that much of that. I pretty much stay at home.
Thank you.
I have a question. Has the chamber ever, to your knowledge, ever supported or endorsed a political candidate in our city?
Not to my knowledge.
Thank you.
Our bylaws state that we can on issues, but they've chosen not to go into the foray of candidates. But we do publicize information. Even in this last election, we did a circular with questions that were answered that all candidates could answer. So we try to do that. We try to provide information for people to base their decisions on.
Thank you. Mr. City Attorney, it appears that they're within the confines of the law, as she explained it, with a 2%. That's what I was hearing. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with that said, this is a receive and file, but I hope that the next – I'm sorry. I guess we'll have to –
David Broadwater, just brief.
All right. Thank you.
Regarding any innuendo about innuendo, it did not intend, nor did I hear anybody intend or make any statement that or claim that the chamber is engaged in any improper or illegal political activity. Not at all. We don't know. The reports don't specify, as required by the contract, how they spent this taxpayer money, so we can reach no conclusion, positive or negative, about that, so no innuendo has been made by anybody out here. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Broadwater.
So this is receive and file. I hope that the next council will take this matter up and you know, I gave some recommendations that I would like to see. I'll be coming, returning and speaking as a citizen. And to that,
Parks and Recreation Commission. They advised the City Council on obviously parks and recreation issues, including especially to do with youth issues. Also, a council sitting in the past created a youth representative for the Parks and Rec Commission. It's an advisory position only, but they have found that it's very helpful. They are very much involved in giving the commission feedback on how the youth would look at whatever they were voting on. We have usually had one youth rep, but the last time we appointed, we had actually two people apply, and the subcommittee of two council members who did the interviewing liked both of them so much the council decided to change the resolution to say that we could have as many as two youth reps. So we did until they recently went off to college. So now the vacancy is there again, and the council did direct me to have interviews, conduct interviews with a subcommittee, which was Mayor Pro Tem Barreau and Councilmember Clay. I did advertise the position. I received one application from Matthew O'Connell. His application is attached to the report, starting on page 132. He was unable to be here tonight. I did ask him if he'd like to come, if he wanted to, but he was unable to make it. So they did interview him, and they are recommending that the council appoint him to the vacancy on the Parks and Rec Commission.
Thank you, Marcia. Questions?
Well, yes. No questions. He's an outstanding young man, and we're fortunate again to have a really good one.
All right. Marcia, if I could ask real briefly, does this require public an opportunity for public comment?
Because it's an item on the agenda,
okay.
Yes.
I assumed that was probably the case.
I had a question.
Councilmember Luna.
Do you know, he's 16 years old, do you know if he's going to serve one term or two terms? Or?
Actually, the resolution calls that the youth rep is a one-year term, but many times
could be reappointed.
They can be reappointed. Yes, sometimes when they start at 15 or 16, many times, especially if they like it, they do want to continue to serve until they graduate from high school.
Is he a sophomore or junior? Anybody know?
He's a junior.
Thank you.
Junior, okay.
he belongs to Key Club and things like that, so he's very much involved and very interested in this. So I would imagine unless some other conflict came up, he'd probably want to serve till he graduated.
So there's a potential for a two-year, essentially a two-year appointment.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen next year? Are you going to advertise for another? Because there's potentially two seats.
That would be up to the council. Okay. The resolution says as many as two. For many years, you only had one, and just in this last couple of years, we had the two. But it would be up to you if you wanted me to try and advertise and find another applicant.
So when you came forward with, say, a reappointment, it would be an opportunity for the council to open it to another person?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Is he the same young man that won a state award for outstanding?
He's won lots of awards.
Project,
I mean, Brady can probably tell more.
Sir Ernest Shackelford or Shackleton, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was a history award when he was in eighth grade at the junior high. And he's very, very bright young man.
State honors. That's what I Googled him, and by all appearances, he's an excellent student, a good sportsman, and his application said he's.
So were you.
He said he's honest and takes his responsibilities seriously, and sounds pretty good to me.
Sandy Jack, Atascadero. Having been served as a Parks and Rec commissioner in the past, I've been there when we had one student representative, and then they moved when the opportunity to present two of them, and one was a male and one was a female. And I think having that mix of gender on the Parks and Rec gives two different perspectives from kids. And I found it very beneficial when they were there. They had a tremendous amount of insight from their level, which actually assisted the members of the commission. And I would encourage the council to proceed and maintain two and having one from each of the genders. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this issue? Seeing none, return it to the council.
For the record, we only had one apply, so, yeah.
And this will require a motion, I assume.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, I'd move that the council appoint Matthew O'Connell to the Parks and Recreation Commission.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Luna, a second by Councilmember O'Malley. And roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bay Rowe?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes. And I think, Matthew, wherever you are tonight, welcome aboard. I think you're going to be a fine addition. With that said, why don't we take a 5 or 10-minute break, and we'll return and we'll wrap up with
I would suggest we continue. We do not have very much left on the agenda.
Would you like a break?
Let's go forward.
Okay. We will. This is time for council announcements, and I have a matter that I have brought forward.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I have a few questions for our city attorney before you begin. There are points of order taking precedent under Robert's Rules of Order.
Direction, please.
I could answer the questions.
Ask your question.
Thank you. I understand that you, the city attorney's advice, is that the city council not comment upon the report by Mr. Brendler because the litigation which he refers to relates to personnel performance by an employee of his duties. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
I will follow your advice and not comment upon the report by Mr. Brendler, but I do have a couple of questions. Is it true that the litigation to which Mr. Brendler refers in his report was settled by the parties to the mutual satisfaction of all parties, including Marty Tracy, the Gons, and the city's claims adjuster, CJPIA, which is the California Joint Powers Insurance Authority?
Yes, that's true.
And what is the situation in the city's ability to respond to this action when it's turned over to the joint power, joint California?
Element of the litigation, yes.
Okay. At this point, since the litigation has been settled, in your opinion, is this still a pending matter or is this issue closed?
Well, the litigation is closed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I need to ask a question also of the city attorney, if I could. Would this in any way cause some type of litigation to reopen?
That's impossible for me to predict.
Does that mean it's possible?
I suppose anything is possible.
That's not helpful.
Well,
I would be.
Let me just say this. I would be speculating. To answer that question, I would have to speculate.
So there's a potential that any comments made by anybody, including the mayor, could reopen?
The only thing I can say is that Mayor Brendler asked for this to be put on the agenda. It was added to the agenda. He's going to say what he's going to say. I cannot predict what the outcome of what his comments will be. My advice to the rest of the council is that you not comment on what Mayor Brendler may say, since this is a matter that was in litigation, and the litigation related to the performance by an employee of his duties. And for that reason, it's my advice to you, meaning the other council members, not to comment on what Mayor Brendler may say.
Okay, and I will respect that advice.
All right, then I will begin. There's never a wrong time to do a right thing. I don't remember when I first heard this adage, but it's etched in my memory. There's never a wrong time to do a right thing. And it's in this context that I discuss my review of the allegations and the investigation against Atascadero City employee Marty Tracy, Deputy Executive Director of the Redevelopment Agency. Keep in mind, these are my findings and my findings alone. 2 years ago, when I assumed office, there was much controversy concerning Mr. Tracy, controversy that began before I took office. He was vilified and sometimes called a rogue employee. At the time, I knew little about the case, but the portrayals pained me, and something didn't seem to add up. Because it was in litigation and because it involved the previous counsel, I didn't feel it was proper to delve into the facts, but I had made it clear that once the dust settled and once the case was litigated, I hoped to look into the matter to determine if there was anything that we as city officials could do to avoid similar problems in the future. You know, as city officials, we speak about treating our employees with respect and dignity, but I feel that what happened to Marty Tracy is in no way indicative of those values. I am not going to go into this report in detail, as my report tonight, by council rule, is to be brief. And I recognize that there are other council members who are precluded from further public discussion on this personnel issue. Their silence should not be taken as an indication that they agree or disagree with my findings. After having reviewed numerous public documents, including court depositions and exhibits, I will now recite my findings. One, since April 2000, he had been dealing with the Gons regarding their property located at 6040 and 6090 El Camino Real Atascadero. Mr. Tracy was consistent in keeping Wade McKinney informed during the time he was dealing with the Gons. Mr. Tracy was courteous and professional in his dealings with the Gons. Mr. Tracy attended the February 22, 2005 closed session meeting during which eminent domain was discussed and resulted in direction to move forward with the eminent domain process relative to the Gon property. The city agency was engaged in the eminent domain process relative to the Gons property in 2005. Mr. Tracy was following direction he was given by Wade McKinney and the City Council Redevelopment Agency. Mr. McKinney gave permission and was aware that Tracy would contact the Gons on February 23, 2005 in order to give them an update. Mr. Tracy was truthful in his phone message to the Gons on February 23, 2005, and the phone message was not disparaging of the Redevelopment Agency or the City Council. Mr. Tracy did not negligently or otherwise misrepresent the agency's position when leaving the Gons a voice message. Mr. Tracy did not make inappropriate remarks about the City Council or the agency board in his voice message to the Gons.
Given the circumstances, Mr. Tracy's conduct with the New Times photographer was not inappropriate, and there was no personnel rules that governed the conduct that was alleged. As indicated in the Atascadero News article dated November 16, 2005, city officials may have been in conflict with Section 54957 of the Brown Act during the October 31, 2005 closed session meeting that resulted in Mr. Tracy being asked to resign. Number 12, a number of lawsuits have resulted in the events described herein. Number 13, had the City Council Redevelopment Agency Board made a timely acknowledgement that the city agency was engaged in an eminent domain process relative to the gone property, much time, much energy, and the expenditure of tax dollars may have been avoided. Number 14, it would be reasonable and appropriate for the 2005 City Council and Wade McKinney to offer Mr. Tracy an apology. 15, it would be reasonable and appropriate to expunge the disciplinary conclusions and actions which were based on scholars' investigation from Tracy's personnel file. And number 16, it would be reasonable and appropriate that Mr. Tracy be reimbursed for his outstanding legal expenses that he incurred in defending himself. And in closing, I, as a member of this council, want Marty Tracy and your family to know that I'm profoundly sorry for the humiliation and the difficulties you've endured during the past 3 years, and I'm sorry for the financial burden you assumed in defending yourself. And in closing, I'll repeat, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing, and I would hope that in a future closed session, the council and Mr. McKinney will find it in their hearts to do the right thing. And that concludes my report.
Lights on.
Councilman O'Malley, you wish to say something?
Yes, thank you. I have listened to nearly 3 years of unfounded allegations. None of them have been found to have any merit. If problems are discovered in the future, we need to fix them. Now we need to be proactive and polite and move forward to accomplish good things for our community. And with that,
one more to go.